15,000 most economists were expecting to see in this morning's report. The biggest increases in...
musical journey. That talking ahead out in just a few moments. Fastest Hour and Radio has gone by as always. But I'll be back same time, same channel next week for some more great music. Going to finish off today's...
On today's program, I'll be talking about how to get the most out of Instagram engagement. I'll discuss the hows and whys of intern hiring. I'll have 7 ways to motivate your team year-round. I'll have a few tips on what you can do when feeling overwhelmed at work. I'll have 5 ways you can get to know your customers better. And I'll have an update on the Great Pinwheel Project of 2019. Thursday, August 15th, 2019, and I'll have all that and more right now on Taking Care of Business. Well, good afternoon, everybody. My name is Jim Gannot, and this program is called Taking Care of Business. And for the next hour, we're going to talk about issues affecting businesses large and small here in the borough of Flemington, in beautiful Hunterdon County, New Jersey, and on the national scene as well. Before we do that, we check the weather. It's currently 79 degrees at 12:05. Forecast shows today it'll be partly cloudy with a high near 83 and a low of 65. For tomorrow, it'll be mostly cloudy with a few showers mixed in throughout the day, a high of 83 and a low of 68. For Saturday, or as I call it, play me some mountain music, Alabama. Can't wait to see you in concert. We'll have scattered thunderstorms and a high of 86 and a low of 70. And for Sunday, it'll be partly cloudy with a high of 90 degrees and a low of 71. Current check of the financial market shows the Dow is currently up 29.62 to 25,506.65. The NASDAQ down 13.74 to 7760.20. S&P 500 is up 3.51 to 2844.00. Oil down 80 cents to $54.43 per barrel. And gold up $1.60 to $1,529.40 an ounce. All right, let's get this show on the road right now. We apologize. Seems like we're having some technical issues with the Facebook Live, and I apologize for that. But we do have the audio portion going, so we will be able to link you up with the audio portion tomorrow. Make sure that you don't miss anything. And, of course, if you're listening live, we appreciate that as well. Speaking of internet and everything like that, if you're currently listening to the program, you may have a browser open, and we would encourage you to like and follow the Taking Care of Business page so that you get updates midweek on anything happening in business and that may be of interest to you. Anything happening that I think is affecting small business, sometimes it's related to tax issues, HR issues, or anything else. You'll hear it there first, and then we'll discuss it on the program on Thursdays. And around this time of the week, every week during the show, we do what we call the Business Quote of the Week. It's brought to you each week at this time by Crown Trophy of Flemington. And this, I always pick a quote that may be applicable to business. It could be from a sports figure, a religious figure. It could be from a celebrity of some kind, business people, wherever I think that there's something interesting that could be applicable to business, I bring it here first. And today it comes from the co-founder of LinkedIn, Reid Hoffman, who said, "The fastest way to change yourself is to hang out with the people who are already the way that you want to be." Now, I've mentioned this several times on the program. I've written it in my book. But don't hang out with the people that aren't going to get you where you want to be. And it's a harsh lesson sometimes, but it's one that is necessary. Because if you want to be successful, why would you hang out with unsuccessful people? Makes no sense. So hang out with the ones who are going to be able to you know, show you the right ways and the right techniques. So if you think of friendships when you were growing up, a lot of times you'll think back and you'll say, well, I hung out with this kid and we always seemed to get in trouble. Okay, where'd he end up? So, but if you hung out with good kids that got good grades, chances are you were going to be a good kid and get good grades as well. Same thing in business. I do not surround myself with what I consider to be unsuccessful or negative people. I want positive people around me. I want people who are successful and even more successful than I am, because that's where I want to be someday. Whether you follow guys like Larry Winget, Marcus Lemonis, Tony Robbins, Dean Graziosi, whoever you follow, whoever you want to pick to be your person that you want to emulate, you know, or who you want to study, by all means, that's what you want to pick. Don't pick the guy who, you know, whose business is failing, whose marriage is failing, or something like that. And I'm not saying you have to abandon those people, but don't look up to them in such a way that you want to be like them. And so many times, what you'll find is that in business, there are not groups, but there are people that you can just associate with, and by doing so, you make yourself better. Conversely, there are people you can associate with, and it'll never get better. I mean, how many business owners do you talk to who are constantly whining about, you know, how busy they are, but they're not getting anything done, or you know, they're complaining about not making payroll, they're complaining about their employees. Find the people that are successful and that will help you become successful as well. So Reid Hoffman, the LinkedIn co-founder's quote today was, "The fastest way to change yourself is to hang out with people who are already the way that you want to be." Great advice, and something that a lot of successful people will tell you is something you want to do. You want to hang out with Warren Buffett, or do you want to hang out with a homeless man? You know, I'll pick Warren Buffett every time. I'll help the homeless man, but I'm not going to hang out with him or ask him for business advice. I wanted to give you an update on the Great Pinwheel Project of 2019 over at Crown Trophy of Flemington. Got a lot of traction on this one on Facebook when I announced it yesterday. So we have a client that last year ordered 5,000 pinwheels to be made, assembled, and shipped all over the world. And they came back to us this year, and they were like, okay, this year they want to do 8,000. And instead of giving you 2 months to do 5,000, we're going to give you 2 weeks to do 8,000. Doing the math, quick review, I knew there was no way that my staff was going to be able to get this done. So what I did was I tapped into the 100 Central Work Readiness Program, and I had worked with several of the kids in my store over the past several years, and talked to the teacher there, Michelle Murphy, and said, I need the best of the best. I need Steven, I need Omar, I need Andy, and I need Adam. Ask them if they would like to work for me for 2 weeks. I will pay them, and they will assemble the pinwheels similar to the way they did it last year. And they all signed up right away and said yes, they wanted to be a part of this. So this is their first paying job, which is exciting for them and exciting for me. And then I got a phone call from my brother-in-law saying that a woman that he had worked with years ago has a son who has spina bifida. He's confined to a wheelchair, and he's looking to do something. He wants to do some form of work. And so I said, well, can he, you know, do manual dexterity things? Can he use his hands and things like that? And he assured me that he could. So last night, I drove to his house, dropped off a bunch of supplies, gave him the instructions of what I'm looking for him to accomplish, and then I'll pick them up again tonight, whatever he's completed, at 6:30. And there's a line in the movie Miracle that I quoted to him, and this is the movie about the 1980 U.S. hockey team, in which Herb Brooks says, "The legs feed the wolf." And what he means is that, you know, the faster the wolf runs, the faster he catches his prey. So part of the job is disassembling a bunch of components, sorting them out into separate bins so that later on we can begin the assembly. By doing the disassembly, that's the legs. And the part about feeding the wolf, let's call that the team over at Crown Trophy. If he gets his job done in Greenbrook and I pick him up tonight, tomorrow those kids have something to work on. And my wife and I are also doing disassembly of 8,000 components, and my staff, Susan and Jen, are taking things home and doing them as well. So it's a great project. The kids are all in a good mood. I've made one of them per day the team captain, so he's the one in charge of telling them when they take their breaks, when they take their lunch, and if there's any problems, they have to go to him first, because I wanted to teach them the responsibility. I want them to own this project. And it's going along very well on day two. I thought maybe they might accomplish getting 500 pinwheels, 300 to 500 pinwheels done yesterday. They got over 1,000 done, so we're right on track with getting everything done. And then, of course, yesterday afternoon we had the power failure here in Flemington, and we had to stop a little early. But, you know, the kids left in a great attitude. They came back this morning with a great attitude, and really looking forward to having that job completed. And I want to make mention that I've been promoting the hiring of kids that with special needs for a long time on this program and in the community. And this is proof positive of why I do it, because these kids have such an attention to detail. They're focused. They have the enthusiasm. They appreciate the fact that they're getting a paycheck. And you may not need somebody full time, but you may need somebody for just a couple of hours. Wouldn't it be great if we had a database of these kids and what their certain skill sets are, whether it's computers, manual labor, or something else, or counting, that you could call a group like Star Throwers and say, I need a boy, I need a male, or I need a female, or I need someone who can unload a truck and put the material away, or I need somebody who can help me with inventory, counting items. I need somebody to create a database for me. Let us figure out what those skill sets are, get them into a database of available talent, and then I want to launch this in Flemington Borough, because a lot of these kids spend their days at Star Thrower. They could easily walk to your business and help you out. So pay attention, stay tuned, and hopefully we'll be able to roll something like that out in the next 6 to 8 months as we move this project along. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. I'm your host, Jim Gano, stepping away for a break. When we come back, we've got more right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all right. Taking care of business. And working overtime for help.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the host of this program and the owner of Crown Trophy in Flemington. And again, glad that we can get together every Thursday at this time to discuss business issues and things that may be of interest to you or may impact your business. And one of those that I talked about a few weeks ago that I think it bears repeating is the need for your business to be on social media. Your business should have a page on Facebook. It should have a page on Instagram. It should have a LinkedIn page, although I don't necessarily consider that social media, and neither do they. And, you know, a Twitter account. At the very minimum, that's what your business should have. But how do you get to curate or develop your Instagram, for instance, for higher engagement? Now, your personal social media accounts may be full of candid shots of your friends and family and cat videos and popular memes. And if you run a business, however, you definitely need to have a well-curated account to represent it. In order to gather followers for your professional Instagram, you must offer interesting content that they aren't getting elsewhere. So here are some tips on how to get a great feed established. First, you want to feed curiosity. As with any craft, social media is an art form. So to make good art, you not only need commitment, you also need a little bit of inspiration. And if it's not coming to you, you have to go get it. So take a walk or go for a drive. Just remember to stop before taking any pictures. And if you can't leave your desk, pause for a few minutes to look around you. Pay attention to details that you didn't notice before. You can find inspiration just about anywhere, but you have to stop and look for it. Now, a fantastic way to find inspiration is by honing your skills. So take every opportunity you can to learn new things. Your local library or university probably offers classes on Instagram marketing, and you can also take photography lessons to improve the quality of your pictures. Look at the social media feeds of people that you admire to see what they do well. Whether you learn best by reading, observing, or by hands-on practice, dive into every educational chance you get. You also want to share quality. Pay attention to the composition of each photo. Whenever possible, apply the rule of thirds. Divide what you see in the frame into thirds, both horizontally and vertically. The main subject should be at one of the intersecting points, and make sure every photo is in focus. Use hashtags, clever copy, and location tagging to tell a story with each picture that you share. Look at your main Instagram page. Does the overall aesthetic appeal to you? Are all your posts super busy, or do you see some moments of simple composition? Is every picture aligned exactly the same, or are some of the focal points uniquely off-center? So try switching up the perspective with different shots. The best feeds not only have great pictures, but also present them in interesting ways. And you want to focus on your own work. Occasionally, it's fine to post a popular meme that you think your followers will enjoy. Most of your content should be original, however, and they are there to see what you have to offer, not look at the same thing that five other people on their feed are posting. Many Instagram users give the impression that their posts are spontaneous snapshots of their lives. The most impeccably curated accounts, however, probably involve a little planning. So organize your content with a feed organizing tool. Just like your planner helps you keep your life together, these tools can help you plan your posts ahead of time. Some of them even let you save captions. Then you have everything you need when it's time to post. There's a great company called HubSpot, which I think was taken over by GoDaddy. They'll come to your business, they'll shoot pictures for 2 hours, and then they'll set up all of your commercial accounts and do postings for you. You have to approve the content. You can always edit the content. I've been using them now for about 2 years, and what's great is if I get busy and don't have the time to do a social media post, I know that one's coming out every 2 or 3 days from them. And again, you want to be social. If your focus is all about creating the perfect look for your feed, you might be missing the point. Social media marketing is, at its core, supposed to be social. So don't just jump on Instagram, make your post, and leave. Take the time to peruse the pictures the people in your feed are sharing. Interacting with other users is what makes social media work. There may be many offers out there to buy followers or attract thousands of followers at once. These ploys are typically not very successful and only result in bots or other types of what we call fake followers. Understand that just as in life, there is no shortcut to authentic connection. Genuine relationships are the ones that are going to make your Instagram marketing successful. As you build relationships with other users, you may have opportunities to share content. And a good way to do this is through a contest with a giveaway. So team up with a similar user and offer something to your followers. To increase traffic to each other's feeds, make sure you tag each other. And have fun. Joy is contagious. If you look like you're having fun with your feed, your followers are going to have fun too. Learning how to curate your content better is important, but leave room for some playfulness. Authenticity is born of imperfection. Every single post you share is neat and tidy. It may be hard for your followers to relate. You may get a lot of likes at first, but after a while, people want to follow others whose lives seem just as real as their own. Not only is showing the occasional goof entertaining, it also reminds them that you are an actual person. So don't be afraid to let your guard down a little bit and let your fun side show. Your Instagram account can be a fun, effective marketing tool if you use it right and give your followers great content and they will love you for it. So some great tips on Instagram. I think it's probably one area that a lot of businesses are overlooking in their marketing campaigns. So what I want you to think about is, in your business, is there something that can be used as a visual? Now, if you own a dress shop, certainly there's all kinds of different items that you could be posting about, new dresses, new scarves that come in, new blouses, what are the hot trends coming up for fall fashion. If you own a jewelry store, same thing. Is there a particular brand that you like that you want to market more of? For me, owning a trophy store, if we do a unique award, whether we do it in-house or we purchase it from a vendor, but it's something that I think people will have an interest in, we show it, and we show it, you know, as often as possible. We get a lot of interaction like that. And then if we make a goof, we make a goof, you know, and share that too, just so that people understand, you know, you are human and we all make mistakes and it's not a bad thing. And sometimes they'll actually like you more for it than if you just keep coming out with your A side on Facebook, showing them all the good things that are happening in your lives. Let's talk about interns for a minute. I know we're getting towards the end of summer, but, you know, even during the school year, there's time to be hiring interns for your business. And I want to talk about the hows and the whys of intern hiring. Now, interns are students who want to get real world job experience, and they're usually college students, but sometimes can be in high school as well. And these trainees work in your company like normal employees, and your job is to teach them how your business works. So the question then becomes, is having an intern good for your company? One of the benefits of intern hiring for your company is that if you find the right intern, it can be an amazing experience for both of you. Interns get valuable job experience. They can put on a resume. They also make important business connections. And this means that there are likely many students who want to work with your company. So how does this type of program help your company? Well, there's a couple of very important benefits you need to be aware of. First, it's good training for your managers. Second, there's more workers during your busy seasons. Third, you have employees with more job experience. Four, it leads to better teamwork. And five, there's more time to see potential employees in action. If you like these kids, offer them a position after they graduate. Many interns decide later to work for the company that hired them. In this case, an internship program is like extra training for high-quality employees. You can select the best students and offer jobs to the ones you trust. When employees already love your business, they treat customers better, and they do good work. That's similar to the special needs students that, you know, I've hired this summer. You know, they want to be there, they like working there, and they're doing a great job. Now, how do you create an intern program? And to make an internship a positive experience both for your company and the students, you need to create a good program. The goal is to give interns a good education in the world of business, from the basics to more complex responsibilities. Hands-on jobs are the best way to learn. For example, new trainees can answer the phone, organize files, help customers, and order inventory. One thing you don't want to do is make these people your lackeys. You know, go get me coffee, go get my lunch, go do my dry cleaning. They're not there for that. They're there to learn the job. So make sure that they are being exposed to that. Here are some things you should include in your intern program: clear goals for the trainee, a job description, a regular work schedule, chances for group teamwork, solo projects for interns to take care of, a place for them to work, constant support and training, daily or weekly feedback. Now, as interns complete small jobs, you can give them the bigger ones. Assigning them start-to-finish products teaches important qualities such as responsibility. For example, you can have them order products for the week. They learn to contact suppliers, write business emails, make phone calls, and complete the order forms. Good training requires balancing independence with instruction. So show interns how to do things and then give them some freedom to do the work. Afterwards, tell them what they did great and areas where they can improve. This teaching is the main point of an internship. How do you handle intern hiring? Well, college students don't have the same experience as regular workers, but you can still have certain job requirements. You may want students with good grades, specific majors, or skills. For example, if your company works with graphics, look for students who understand computers and programs such as Adobe Illustrator. In many ways, hiring interns is the same as interviewing potential employees. You can ask similar questions and look for qualities that you value. The first step is usually to contact the local university or go to job fairs for students. Do you have to pay interns is another question that many businesses ask. It's important to check state laws and talk with local lawyer to decide. The Fair Labor Standards Act says you don't have to pay interns if they are trainees. However, trainees can't work at your company after they finish the internship. If you want them to stay on as employees after training, you have to pay them legally from the start. Also, paying students makes them want to work with you more. So, again, you can't say enough about intern programs. My son did one with the Clinton Police Department, did one with the State Police, made a lot of great contacts that are now helping him as he moves forward in his career search for law enforcement positions. He's got some great letters of recommendation. You know, he did great work while he was there. I can remember when I did my internship, it actually led to a job at the TV station that I was interning at down the road. So it's great experience. And again, just don't minimize the role of the intern. Put them to work, and very often you'll find that they can contribute to your organization. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. We're going to take a quick news break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about 7 ways that you can motivate your employees in your shop. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu is barring visits that were planned by 2 U.S. congresswomen who are Muslims. Representatives Ilhan Omar of Minnesota and Rashida Tlaib of Michigan were scheduled to start a visit this coming Sunday. The two have been very harsh critics of Israeli policy, saying their criticisms were focused on the nation's policies and not on Jewish people. However, Netanyahu says the two will not be able to visit, and his decision comes a few hours after President Trump had urged him to bar the two women from visiting. Former Colorado Governor Democrat John Hickenlooper has announced he is pulling out of the presidential race. However, he hasn't decided yet if he's going to mount a U.S. Senate campaign. And this is USA Radio News.
Are you one of those people who thinks it's okay to drive stoned? I mean, what's the worst that can happen? You end up driving below the speed limit? It's no big deal, right? Wrong. The truth is, your reaction times slow way down when you're high. You not only put yourself in danger, but everyone around you. Talk about a buzzkill. Stop kidding yourself. It's not okay to drive high. If you've been using marijuana in any form, do not get behind the wheel. If you feel different, you drive different. Drive high, get a DUI. Paid for by NHTSA.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington, and the host of this program, Taking Care of Business, for almost 8 years now. So very happy to be joining you once again as we get together every Thursday. I do apologize. We're having a few technical difficulties today. I don't know if you can hear music in the background. I know it's very low, and normally I don't like to point out the technical difficulties, but if suddenly I start breaking out into Rod Stewart songs, then you'll know why. What else can I talk about? The Streetscape is going on here in Flemington starting this week. It's going to go on for several weeks. This is a grant that was approved back in the days of the Flemington Business Improvement District. The money's been held in escrow for years as they came up with design plans. So this is an opportunity between Main and Bloomfield along Main Street to beautify part of the town. Obviously, this is being done in concert with the developer, Jack Cust, who's the developer of record on the Courthouse Square project, so that you know you don't have different designs going up and down Main Street. And another note that I want to bring up is a long, long time ago, in a land not too far away called Bridgewater, there was a radio station called WBRW, and one of the hosts there was a gentleman by the name of Larry Matea. I've known Larry since I was about 4 years old. Great voice for radio, like me. I think we could both argue that we have a great face for radio. And there's an opportunity for him to possibly join me on the show either as a guest sports columnist or as a guest host, interviewer, etc., would love to get him his own show here on the program. So you may hear Larry's voice on the air in the next couple of weeks. This would be huge. I think it would be one of the best listened to shows if we broadcast it to the Bridgewater Raritan High School West alumni, because everybody loves Larry, and it would be great to hear him back on the air. And of course, no show would be complete unless he had his famous Bound Brook. So hopefully stay tuned for that. So let's talk about 7 ways to motivate your shop. Now, an unmotivated staff can pose serious problems for your business. Only 33% of American workers report being fully engaged in their jobs. Think about that for just a minute. A third of all American workers are saying that they're engaged in their jobs. This is not whistle while you work stuff, but it means that when you go into the office in the morning, you want to be there. And only a third of Americans can say that. Now, I always ask people, when I do the quote of the week, the business quote of the week, or when I come up to a particular topic, where would you fall on something like that? And it's interesting to me how many people can't say that they're fully engaged. So the question, the business quote of the week this week was from Reid Hoffman. It said, "The fastest way to change yourself is to hang out with people who are already the way that you want to be." My question there is, who are you hanging out with? And are they the type of people that you want to be? Not just be around, not just be with, but are they the type of people you want to be? Are they successful? Are they financially stable? Do they have their act together, in effect? And are they moving up, stagnant, or moving on their way down? So that's the first question of the week. The second question of the week is right after that first sentence. If 33% of Americans report that they're fully engaged, that means 67% say that they're not fully engaged in their work. Yes or no, folks? Are you in or are you out? Are you engaged in your work? Do you like going to work? We all have to go to work, but is it something that you enjoy? Do you get pleasure from it? Do you want to contribute, or are you kind of just going through the motions? Very scary statistic coming out of the Gallup report in 2017. Now, that majority of unmotivated workers results in more than $550 billion in lost productivity. A motivated staff keeps your business running quickly and efficiently. And on top of that, happy, motivated employees help make your shop a pleasure to run and a pleasure to spend your workday in. As the CEO of your business, you're not only responsible for assembling a good team, but you also have a large hand in keeping that team happy and productive. So here are 7 ways to increase employee motivation in your shop. The first is, share your goals. Now, you probably have a clear vision for your business, or at least you should, but let your employees know what you're looking to achieve and what your view and how you view them as being an integral part in reaching those achievements. Now, whether you want to be the go-to shop for your customers' needs, letting your employees in on the behind-the-scenes stuff motivates them to help you reach those goals. If you're talking about you have to raise prices, let your employees know the hows and the whys that you're doing this, because they're going to be the ones that probably have to explain it to your customers. And when you talk about them talking to your customers, number 2, you have to trust your employees. Now, trust goes a long way towards motivating people to take initiative and hard work. When you opt out of micromanaging, your employees will feel empowered to take charge. You won't have to ask for every task to get done, and they'll solve problems on their own. Plus, constant monitoring can build stress among employees as well as with you. You're going to want to roll up your sleeves. Now, while trust and proper delegation are important, so is being hands-on and sharing in the work. Running a business can keep you in your office all day, every day. Help your employees help customers pick and pack orders, pack and ship boxes. In other words, get your hands dirty. It shows them that you are just as committed to your business's daily operations and goals as they are. And you want to give your employees a chance to grow. There's nothing less motivating than feeling like you're going to do a dead-end job every day, day after day, to perform the same task. And you can avoid this trap by offering your employees the opportunities to grow. Know your employees' professional goals and offer a hand so they can achieve them. This could mean giving them new or more responsibilities or offering additional training to help them move their career forward. You're also going to want to be positive throughout. Now, a positive attitude is infectious. Make your employees feel good about coming to work. That means controlling your negative emotions when things don't go right. Give positive feedback when it's warranted and offer incentives. Even consider treating your employees to the donuts or catered lunch occasionally. These things may seem small at times, but it's a great way to show your employees that you appreciate the work they're doing. You also want to stay open to feedback. Now, as important as open communication about goals and successes with your team is, it's just as important to listen and consider their feedback. They are the ones doing the day-to-day tasks that keep your business open. Listening to their feedback shows that you trust their opinions, which can help them feel more invested in your business. If you ever watched the show Undercover Boss, I used to always love when the boss would come out of the ivory tower, get down on the shop floor, start talking to the employees, and realize, you know, wow, it's hot in here. Well, yeah, it's 130 degrees on the shop floor. We've been asking for air conditioning for years or fans. And then all of a sudden, fans show up. Or I remember the woman, I think she was working in a manufacturing plant making like Coleman gas grills or something like that. And she would bring plastic bags, lawn and leaf bags from home because when she took the lid off of the assembly line and had to flip it over, it would always scratch, resulting in damage and repairs costing the company money. But by putting this plastic bag over it, it wouldn't scratch when she laid it on the table. And then she would remove it, you know, the bag as it got ready to go to the next station. And the boss was like, well, what's with the plastic? Where'd these plastic bags come from? She goes, oh, I bring them from home. And he's like, well, why aren't we providing the bags or some other protective material? Get on the shop floor and help your employees so you understand what's going on. And you also want to be genuine. Let your personality show by taking the time to talk to your employees. Be honest with them. Don't go back on your word. And make sure they know that you can be trusted to take care of their well-being. As the head of your business, you can have a major impact on your employees' attitudes. So hopefully there's some tips in there that, you know, you'll agree with as it pertains to how to keep your staff motivated. By sharing your goals, trusting the employees, rolling up your sleeves and doing some of the work with them, giving them the chance to grow, always being positive, staying open to feedback and being genuine with them, I think you're well on your way. I got an email the other day from a woman, and this is one of those, you know, talk me off the ledge emails. She talked, there were probably, this must have been like a 7 or 8 paragraph email about all the work she had to do and all the complaints she was getting from customers and how they weren't getting their completing all their jobs and things like that. And it was driving her nuts. And she was like, I'm so overwhelmed. I'm so busy. I don't have time to hire. I don't have time to train. What can I do? How can I fix this? So the next topic is, what can you do when you're overwhelmed at work? And this is not just as an owner of a business. This could be any employee in a business who has a large inbox that's full of material. So now when you're slammed, it's easy to think that you need to work on 6 things at once to be able to get to the finish line faster. But you know that only creates more stress and causes silly mistakes. So instead, limit yourself and your crew to work on just one thing at a time. That laser-like focus and 100% effort will start knocking out work much faster and the quality will improve. Whenever we're faced with a lot of projects all at once, I'll go to my whiteboard and I'll sketch out, you know, what needs to be done and by what date. And if there's certain things we can do up front, let's get them done. And if not, how do we address them? And I always start with, let's chip away very small and get some of the small wins out of our pocket. We talked about the 2-minute drill many weeks ago. You also have to try to adjust your mindset. Now, when you come into work and your brain is focused on, I have too much to do today, your anxiety level increases as well. And the mindset feeds into the feeling that you can't get everything done handled. Instead, try starting your day with the mindset and focus that I have plenty of time to do everything I need to. Then take a deep breath and start knocking out the tasks one at a time. Delegate if you can. Prioritize the tasks so the most urgent and essential ones get completed first. This mental shift is relaxing and will help your concentration and ability to do things correctly. When you have a lot of tasks, write them all down. Assign a date to a due date or something like that so that you know which ones you can do. Regardless of how important it is, regardless of how big it is, get it on that sheet. And I guarantee you're going to feel great when you start crossing them off. Now remember, not all work is good. Now what does that mean? If you're stressed and overwhelmed, it may look like you will be clocking in a minimum of 60 to 80 hours for the next 3 to 6 weeks. And I know exactly what that is like because I've done it. There are tons of shops out there that are struggling to find work. Having a long list of jobs to produce is a great thing. And here's the question to ask, though. Are all the jobs that make up your busy schedule worthwhile, and are they profitable? Now, it's a known fact that for businesses, the top 20% of customers will bring in 80% of the sales revenue. So do yourself a favor and pull up your own shop sales history and check this out with the jobs that you bring in. This means that the bottom 80% of customers only give you 20% of your sales, which translates to a lot of work for less money. I'm going to go outside of the box here. If you have so many jobs, and let's say if you go with that 80-20 rule, 20% of your customers are bringing in 80% of the revenue, you want to keep those customers. And that's part of the pumpkin plan with Mike Michalowicz, who was on the show a couple years ago. But if you have 80% of your customers giving you 20% of the work, could you sub some of that work out? Now, if there's other shops in town that do similar work, could you say, hey, I have this project and I don't have time to complete it. I got a couple of big ones. Can I give it to you? Let them take the profit. You cover your costs. Let them take the profits. And then the job is completed. It gets returned to you, so the customer stays with you. And then you call the customer and say your order is ready. But if you have jobs where you have 1,900 pieces to complete and 9 pieces to complete, the setup time is probably all the same. Make sure that the 1,900-piece order, the one you're going to be making the most money on, is the one that you're working on. And I mentioned the two-minute drill. I want to go over that. Actually, we'll do that after the break. But this is important as far as how to clear your desk when you're overwhelmed at work. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntingtonChamberRadio.com.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hello, this is Nicole Smith, host of Happy to Help. Would you like to discover the secret to happiness? I talk to volunteers, executive directors, fundraisers, and authors about how nonprofit engagement enriches their lives. We thrive when we have a sense of purpose in our lives. Philanthropy is the new community. Tune in to Happy to Help every Wednesday at 10 a.m. to discover how to find your purpose and live well by doing good.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
This is Georgine Trinkle. I want to invite you to listen to Hunt & Hunterdon every Monday from 4 to 5 p.m. You'll be treated to discussions on hot topics every week. Hunt & Hunterdon provides a more in-depth look at issues that are happening right now. You can catch the show live and call in on what matters to you. Make sure to download the podcast to catch up on all our hot topics.
Aw, you lucky dog, you. You're listening to Taking Care of Business right here on HuntertonChamberRadio.com. So glad you could join me. My name is Jim Gano, the owner of Crown Trophy here in Flemington and the host of this program. And again, so glad you could join me. Streetscape, the project is going on now. It started yesterday and hopefully will be beautifying part of Flemington over the next several months and will be done before the holiday season is upon us. So although the disruption is temporary, the improvements will be permanent. So hopefully you'll enjoy the new streetscape here in Flemington. I want to talk to you about, Jim, what did you want to talk to them about? There we go. 5 ways that you can help to get, that will help you get to know your customers better. Now, a lot of times when I talk to folks in business, they'll say, oh, I had this great customer. He's this. I go, great. What's his wife's name? Well, they don't know that. When's his anniversary? They don't know that. When did he open his business? They don't know that. What are his kids' names? They don't know that. So it's not enough to say that your customers are your friends. You have to get to know them just a little bit better. And the best way to do that is simply by listening. A lot of times people will tell you things in conversation that goes beyond the typical how's the weather or hey, it's really raining outside or oh, it's cold out. So getting to know them is what can help you develop stronger relationships with your customers down the road. So this story is here to tell you about how personalizing the customer experience can help lead to better relationships and better sales. Now, there's a lot of seasonal shifts in customer preferences or needs, and revenue often slows for many businesses during the summer months. Now, while you can use leading-edge sales methods to keep revenue consistent as well as find new customers, this quiet period may also be ideal for working on other aspects of your business. Summer is the perfect time to focus on improving customer relationships and creating personalized experiences that lead to greater revenue in the long term. Get to Know Your Customer Day is an opportunity to show your customers how much you value them by doing more to get to know them. And here's a couple of ideas on how that can work for you. First, invite your customers in for a company tour. It's amazing how when I was first trained, the founder of Crown Trophy would tell me and tell the trainees, don't bring customers into your production area. Now, he was telling us that some trophy shops, and as I've met other trophy store owners outside of the Crown Trophy franchise system, it's true, they are slobs in their businesses. How they work, I have no idea. How they find inventory, I have no idea. So he would say, don't show people, you know, where the magic happens. We do it all the time. I bring people back on purpose to introduce them to my employees to see how it works, and they're amazed by the size and the scope of how it's done. And if there's a large trophy order on the table, they're amazed that we were able to do it and the fact that we do all the work on site. So invite your customers for the company tour. Having them visit your headquarters or take a factory tour provides a way to share what you're doing. Also, it opens lines of communication so they can ask questions and offer direct feedback. These insights add more color and detail to the customer's persona that you may have already created. So to prepare for a customer's visit, it's good to plan in advance, including out sending invites, which would do the following. It would determine the best times and budget for your client visits, make sure the tours feel personalized without too many visiting at once, and you want to make sure that your staff members are aware of the customer's visit and know what to say or to whom specific customer questions should be directed. You also want to have a host who's designated for the tour along with someone who can take note of the questions and feedback for later analysis. Don't be shy about preparing refreshments, marketing collateral, and if appropriate, a small swag bag of samples or products for visitors to take home. Now, here at the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, when we have card clubs, they're usually held in people's individual businesses. And everyone that I've gone to has done a great job of bringing in food so that people have some, you know, some food, some drink. And a couple of them have even given away, you know, promotional item type presents. So not a bad idea to stick that into a swag bag. Now, to get to know your customers, you got to be where your customers are. So participate in local events. Local events like a farmer's market, chamber of commerce mixer, fairs, trade shows and conferences, networking socials, and citywide seasonal parties all offer opportunities for you to come face-to-face with your customer base. Interacting with your customers should be fun, reflect positively on your brand, and potentially generate real-time sales. Meeting customers in this relaxed social environment may result in chats that have offered detailed opinions and immediate feedback. Customer comments may also help guide development of successful local campaigns that incorporate coupons, promotions, or an on-demand component. So take advantage of these meet-and-greet events and try some of these ideas. Research upcoming local events for ideal times when you can register and participate. Create an inviting booth or space where customers want to stop and stay a while. This might mean adding some type of complimentary service like a chair massage or virtual reality session. Or if you offer some type of product that ties into food and drink samples, this is another way to draw a crowd. Have your company experts on hand to answer questions and gather information on those who stop by. If possible, prepare a very brief survey with an incentive coupon or sample for booth visitors. Don't be shy about organizing a focus group. A focus group offers a more intimate setting to get insights from your customers on what they think of either an existing or new product or service, or they may also give you suggestions on other services they would like you to provide to them. particularly if you've mastered customer service. If they, like for us, we have awards, we have signs and banners, we have promotional items, we have varsity jackets, but having a focus group might open my ears to another suggestion that someone has, whether it be another fundraising component or something like that. Who knows what the idea would be, but a customer may tell us, you know, I would buy this from you if you offered it. So focus groups often let you dig deeper into customer motivation than a regular survey would. These groups provide context about why patrons like or don't like something related to your company. This may include thoughts about what you sell as well as their experiences with your brand. So here are some focus group best practices. Focus groups size may be varied on what type of information you want to gather. Anywhere from between 10 and 20 people should be a manageable group that offers significant usable data. Screen the participants in advance to get a sample that represents your overall target customer and includes any subsegments. Select a facilitator who can lead and manage the discussion. Keep the participants on track and hold the session to the time allotted. You may want to have multiple facilitators for larger focus groups, especially if you need to break those into smaller groups at some point. Choose a comfortable location, like a conference room where participants have good seating and refreshments. Prepare questions in advance, but be ready to ask some on-the-fly questions if certain responses elicit unexpected topics. Select a transcription method and get permission from the focus group if you plan to record it. Another thing you can do is host live online social video town halls. Now, not every tactic for getting to know customers has been an offline experience. The advent of live video on social media channels like Facebook or the chat format on Twitter provide virtual ways to reach out to a larger audience. In addition, this format is ideal for folks who can't make it to an in-person event. So invite the social media audience to send questions before or during the online event. Promote the event across all channels to encourage as many participants as possible. You may want to create a pop-up shop or co-branded event for customers. Interacting with your customers should be fun, reflect positively on your brand, and potentially generate real-time sales. All of this is possible when you design a customer event like a pop-up shop or kiosk. Here, you can extend the interaction beyond just a local event that lasts for a few days. Or if you don't want to invest in these events extensively, there are co-branding opportunities that let you share costs and collaborate with another company. This approach can increase your exposure to audiences that don't normally get a chance to interact with your brand. One at a time. Don't take on all of these things at once. Take your time, optimize your interaction with your customers, and enjoy getting to know them one by one. In sports, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees, Twins, and Astros lead their division in the American League, while the Braves, Cubs, and Dodgers lead their division in the National League. In NASCAR news, Kevin Harvick won last week's Consumer Energy 400 at Michigan International Speedway. This week, the teams travel to Bristol, Tennessee for the Bass Pro Shops NRA Night Race. That'll be Saturday night at 7:30 p.m. on the NBC Sports Network. It's Bristol, baby. In NFL news, teams have reported for preseason workouts and training camp, and the second week of games takes place starting tonight with the Eagles playing the Jaguars, the Jets playing the Falcons, and the Giants playing the Bears tomorrow night. And in NCAA football, the season kicks off August 24th. Well, as always, it's been my pleasure joining you today, and I always end the show with some great advice I got from my father when I was just 6 years old that guides me in my personal and professional life every day. Maybe you can use it in your lives as well when he said, never let it rest until your good is better, and your better is best. If you have ideas for upcoming programming topics or guests, email me at trophyjim@yahoo.com, or you can connect with me on LinkedIn, on Twitter at JimGaneau83, or on Facebook on the show's page, Taking Care of Business with Jim Ganeau. For more information about me and my businesses, visit www.jimganeau.com. I'm Jim Ganeau, and I'm taking care of business. Make it a productive week, everybody. Taking care of business every day. Taking care of business every way. I've been taking care of business. It's all mine. Taking care of business and working overtime.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Democratic Representative Rashida Tlaib of Michigan and Ilhan Omar of Minnesota plan to visit Israel and Palestinian territories this weekend, but the Israeli government has blocked them from entering the country because they support the anti-Israel boycott movement. At issue is an Israeli law that denies entry visas to foreigners who support any form of boycott against Israel and its settlements in the West Bank. President Trump says the U.S. must get tougher on street crime after events in Philadelphia this week. A man suspected of shooting and injuring several police officers during a drug raid is in custody after a long standoff. Larry Krasner says that man had a long criminal record.
We see a lot of different types of charges. We see burglary charges, escape charges, illegally taunting a police animal. We see resisting arrest. We see multiple charges for aggravated assault.
This is USA Radio News.
This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck. This is truck oil. This is hunting, fishing, camping way off the grid oil. This is climbing mountains in the rain, snow, and mud oil. This is hauling the world's greatest tailgate party halfway across the country, oil. This is not top-down cruising to the corner store for cupcakes oil. This is Shell Rotella Gas Truck, just for your truck and SUV, oil. Find Shell Rotella Gas Truck at your local Advance Auto Parts today.
You knew the risks when you decided to drive drunk. There could be a crash. People could get hurt or killed. But that didn't stop you, did it? You knew you could get arrested. You could incur huge legal expenses. And you could possibly even lose your job. You were well aware of the consequences of driving drunk. But one thing's for sure. You were wrong when you said it was no big deal. Drive sober or get pulled over. This message brought to you by NHTSA.
Protesters in Hong Kong getting hit with tear gas by riot police. The protest began at the end of March over a proposed bill that would have allowed the extradition of citizens accused of crimes to mainland China. Federal prosecutors have an update on the Capital One hacking suspect. With the details, here's USA Radio Network's Chris Barnes.
Prosecutors say a woman charged with breaching more than 100 million Capital One credit applications may have hacked more than two dozen other companies. The FBI arresting Paige Thompson last month. She's due in a Seattle federal court for a hearing today. The U.S. Attorney's Office now says servers in her bedroom contain data stolen from over 30 companies, schools, and other organizations.
And you're listening to USA Radio News.
Now you can fly anywhere in the world and pay discount prices on your airline tickets. Book a flight today to London, Paris, Madrid, or anywhere else you want to go. And pay a lot less guaranteed. Call the International Travel Department right now at Low Cost Airlines.
800-215-5141. 800-215-5141. That's 800-215-5141.
Turning now to Capitol Hill News, Republican Senator from Arkansas Tom Cotton joins Fox News and says the list of 2020 Democratic hopefuls have embraced a far-left radical agenda and gone completely off the rails.
The president did a great job this week of introducing a new regulation that's going to implement the public charge law. Mm-hmm. We should not be admitting immigrants to this country who can't support themselves, who are going to go on welfare and take taxpayer resources. That's been the law for over 100 years. The regulation that was issued this week was simply implementing that law under modern circumstances. Yet you have all these Democrats rushing out to denounce the president. Just like on the debate stage a few weeks ago, they were saying that we should decriminalize crossing the border and provide taxpayer-funded health care. Right. The Democrats running for president, in my opinion, have truly lost their mind on some of these things. They are deranged by the president, and they are rushing so far to the left that I can't imagine they're going to be successful next year.
Archaeologists have found the bones of a human-sized penguin in New Zealand. With more, here's USA Radio Network's Wendy King.
They say the newly discovered species swam in New Zealand's oceans around 60 million years ago. It was believed to be one of several species of giant penguins that thrived soon after the dinosaurs died out. It's very similar to another large extinct penguin that was found in Antarctica. The giant penguins became extinct within 30 million years as larger marine mammals began ruling the oceans.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tim Berg.
Oh, folks, you know what that music is. That's the time for modern design.
This blue thing is a really new trend. A lot of the designers are trying to introduce blue as a new cabinet color.
This is topical for you guys. This is really topical.
And the mother said, well, I'd like her room to be gray. And the little girl said, Mom, gray is the color of depression.
Hi, this is Rich Scuderi of Modern Design. We're on live every Wednesday from 2 to 3, and you're listening on WHCR-DB. Are you?